Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. It will be 2 weeks, 2 years ago this coming week that the United States Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia died. He was 79 years old. He died in his sleep. Judge Scalia served on the Supreme Court for 30 years. He was considered one of the most conservative judges on the bench. He was a devout Roman Catholic. He and his wife had 9 children. And one of his sons, Paul, became a Roman Catholic priest and conducted the funeral for his father. In his funeral sermon, after greeting the various dignitaries that were there and thanking them for attending, he spoke these words. "We are gathered here because of one man, a man known personally to many of us, known only by reputation to even more, a man loved by many, scorned by others, a man known for great controversy and for great compassion. That man, of course, is Jesus of Nazareth." A Christian funeral is centered in Christ. And that was a Christian funeral. That tells you what that message was about. Christ-centered, Jesus-centered. Today is Transfiguration Day, and Transfiguration is Jesus-centered. May God grant us to be so as well. Jesus takes 3 of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, takes them up a high mountain, and there he is transfigured before them, metamorphosized. That's directly out of the Greek. He is metamorphosized, changed. It's still Jesus, but the way he looks changes. His clothes become radiant, white, whiter than anybody could make them white. And the disciples are terrified. And 2 others appear with Jesus there, Moses and Elijah. Moses is a great leader out of the Old Testament. Moses is the one that led the people of Israel out of captivity in Egypt towards the Promised Land. He's the one that is given credit for writing the first 5 books of the Bible. He's the one through whom God gave the 10 Commandments. He's the one up on the left in our stained glass window up there. And when God spoke to Moses, the Bible tells us Moses' face became radiant. So when he came down the mountain, he had to put a veil over his face because people couldn't look at him because his face was so radiant until that radiancy faded away. The Old Testament scholar Jerome translated the Bible from Hebrew into Latin, and it's a pretty good translation, but he did miss a word here and there. And radiancy is one of those words Jerome missed. He translated the word radiant to horns. And in the Hebrew, the words are very, very similar. So for centuries, people read that when Moses came down the mountain after receiving the 10 Commandments, he had horns. So much medieval artwork, like we have in our stained glass window, pictures Moses having horns. Elijah is with Moses. He's the premier prophet of the Old Testament. One time God fed Elijah using ravens. Elijah called down fire from heaven in a contest with the prophets of Baal. As you heard in the Old Testament lesson, Elijah was taken to heaven in a fiery chariot. These are the 2 great men of the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah. This would be like if you're in American history class and George Washington and Abraham Lincoln come in and sit down. Moses and Elijah. This would have been incredible. They're standing there with Jesus, and the disciples are witnessing this. This is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And all of a sudden, Peter, he doesn't know what to say, so he starts talking without thinking. And even the Bible tells us that. And he says, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." And then a cloud comes and descends upon them and overshadows them, and a voice comes out of the cloud and it says, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And the cloud disappears, and all of a sudden the disciples are left with Jesus and Jesus only. Who does God tell the disciples to listen to? Not the great commandment giver, Moses. Not the great prophet, Elijah. God tells the disciples, listen to Jesus. Jesus they've been with for a while now. Jesus they knew he was a great teacher. Jesus they knew he could do some things that other people couldn't do. But to have God tell them to listen to Jesus when Moses and Elijah are standing right there, they wouldn't have seen that coming. Because by God saying that, God's saying that Jesus is greater than both Moses and Elijah. Jesus is at the center of it all. Years later, Peter would write about this incident. "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we were made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was carried to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain." Jesus and Jesus only. It's easy to lose sight of that. It's possible to go to a church service and not hear about Jesus, or maybe not even think about Jesus. Possible to go to a church meeting and the name of Jesus doesn't come up unless he's mentioned in the prayer. It's possible to watch a religious show on television and the preacher might tell you how to have a better marriage or how to deal with your family problems or how to be a more successful person, and meanwhile not to say too much about Jesus. It's possible for us to think the Christian life is about us. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. And even going to church, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. When you find yourself anxious and concerned, who have you most likely taken out of the picture? Most likely you've taken out Jesus. Bo Geertz in his book, The Hammer of God, writes it this way: "It's a blessed thing when the faithful soul fixes his uplifted eyes on Jesus and Jesus only. When he does not look about him to lay hold of his own scattered thoughts, nor behind him at Satan who threatens him with a thought that his prayers are of no use, nor within him at his own laziness and lack of devotion, but looks to Jesus who sits at the right hand of God and goes to God on his behalf." Jesus invites us to stop looking at ourselves and to look to him who accomplishes all things for us. Jesus invites us not to look at the sins that we have committed, but that our sins rest on Jesus, who stretches out his arms on Calvary, that he might take them all away from us. And this same Jesus, who, once we've been brought to faith, works in our hearts little by little, transforming us to be more and more like Jesus, not by our self attempts, not by our pious efforts, but by believing that Jesus does it all. You heard that in Paul's writing. Paul wrote in our epistle reading, "And we with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Father, from the Lord who is the Spirit. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart." We don't lose heart because it's not about us, it's about Jesus. We begin Lent on this coming Wednesday. In this Lenten season, we're going to be focusing on the seven deadly sins. I'll see if I can give you all seven without looking at my notes. Gluttony, lust, anger, envy, greed, sloth, and pride. All seven. We're going to be talking about that, those seven, this Lenten season. But Christianity is not a self-improvement project. The only answer for sin, the deadly sins or any other sins, is Jesus. Because if you think that Lent is about, well, I've got to do this and this, and this week I'm going to work on trying to beat gluttony, and this week I'm going to beat on trying to overcome anger, and this week I'm going to try to do this or this, who are you focusing on? Yourself. And Jesus would lift your eyes to look at Jesus, who is the only answer for you, no matter what deadly sin you're struggling with, or what undeadly sin you're struggling with. No matter what your difficulty at home or at work, with your neighbors or in your own heart, Jesus invites us to come back to the center, which is Jesus and Jesus only. Jesus is the foundation of our faith. And when Jesus comes down the mountain on Transfiguration Day, where does he begin to head? He's headed towards the cross, where there he will do what he needs to do for us, his people, die for our sins, and rise from the dead to remind us that it's not about us, it's about Jesus. And when it's about Jesus, we know it'll get done and done right. If we're thinking it's about us, there's going to be disappointment, failure, and oh, I should have done better. But when it's about Jesus, then you know it's done right, and it's done for you. Done for you, wholly and completely, that you would have that peace which is only found in Jesus, now and forever. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in Jesus, until he comes again in glory. Amen.